This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. This Sunday, the scripture speaks about Jesus addressing the stormy sea. In life, we go through various storms. These can be financial storms, social, at our places of work, at school, or just about anywhere. All these storms that happen to us, we bring them before the Lord.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul
Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of Job. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands? When I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stilled.'" The word of the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. A violent squall came up and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
How is the situation of things around you? How are you coping with the reality of the storms of life which come in different forms, like lack of job, lack of good health, the loss of a close relative or friend, problems in marriage, personality crisis, and many others? Do you feel that it is time to give up hope? The Word of God this 12th Sunday is addressing your concerns. God is aware of all that we are facing, just as he was aware of what Job was passing through and the storm his disciples were battling with at sea. God responded to the complaints of Job by telling him that he, God, is the Lord of all creation. He created the world and everything therein, and he sets the laws that governs all things. Everything that exists in the world obeys the laws of God, the seas, the storms, the seasons, and the animals. In the Gospel reading taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, Jesus demonstrated this very reality by speaking to the storming sea, "Peace, be still," and the sea obeyed him. The events of life do not take God by chance. He's all-knowing, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Therefore, it will be wrong for us to think that he does not care about us. I was once asked by a sad and devastated mother of a young boy who died in an accident, "Father, where was God that he allowed my son to die?" The reading from the book of Job came to my mind. God has never stopped existing. He's always in the boat with us, as he was with the disciples when we are facing the storms of life, not just to accompany us, but to save us. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Enobong Udaijong, Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
You are continuing to listen to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime with a bulletin of church news. On Saturday, Pope Francis received an audience participants at an international conference organized by a Catholic lay non-profit organization known as Centesimus Annus Pro Pontifici Foundation, whose objective is to promote Catholic social teaching. The participants, who included scholars and experts from different countries and disciplines, have been analyzing the opportunities and numerous risks associated with the development and use of artificial intelligence, guided by the theme, "Generative Artificial Intelligence and Technocratic Paradigm, How to Promote the Well-being of Humanity, Care for Nature, and a World of Peace." In his address, Pope Francis noted that the conference had come at the right time because artificial intelligence is dramatically influencing the economy and social life and can have a negative impact on the quality of life, interpersonal and international relations, global stability, and the earth at large. On his part, the Pope has also paid attention to the topic of artificial intelligence. On 14th this month, he addressed the leaders of the most industrialized countries in the world, known as the G7, on this topic. And in December last year, he issued the message of this year's World Day of Peace, which was marked on January 1st, on the same particular topic. Lisa Zengarini reports.
In his remarks to the Centesimus Annus Foundation, the Pope thanked those before him for their commitment to exploring how artificial intelligence can help promote human dignity and be at the service of the disadvantaged. The Pope likewise warned against the tool acting autonomously, stressing that artificial intelligence is and must remain a tool in human hands. Moreover, the Holy Father warned against artificial intelligence perpetrating a throwaway culture, favouring inequality and making decisions outside of its purview. As he encouraged them to continue examining the true purpose of artificial intelligence, he asked, "Does it serve to satisfy the needs of humanity, to improve the well-being and integral development of peoples? Or does it rather serve to enrich and increase the already high power of the few technological giants, despite the dangers to humanity? Since the future of humanity will be played out on the front of technological innovation," he stated, "we must not miss the opportunity to think and act in a new way, with mind, heart and hands, in order to direct innovation towards a configuration centred on the primacy of human dignity. This," he underscored, "is not up for discussion." As the Pope encouraged Centesimus Annus to boldly continue its commitment in this regard, he specifically applauded its having launched a second joint research project between the Foundation and the Strategic Alliance of Catholic Research Universities, insisting, "Please keep me informed about this." I am Lisa Zengarini.
Reports from Kenya say the Catholic Diocese of Nyahururu is in the final stages of the preparations for the funeral and burial of a missionary, Sister Ida Lagonero, who died of a heart attack in her bed on Sunday, June 16th, in Kangeni, a few kilometers from Nairobi. An Italian national born in 1942 in Padua and a member of the Dimise Sisters of the Daughters of Mary Immaculate, Sister Ida died at the age of 82. She has been working in Kenya for 57 years. She served in Nairobi and Nyahururu, teaching in schools, promoting disadvantaged women, and helping poor and abandoned children, but spent more years in the Diocese of Nyahururu, which, in appreciation for her services, requested her congregation to grant it permission to bury her among the people she served wholeheartedly and with the utmost dedication. She is remembered for the many projects she founded to improve the lives of the disadvantaged, one of which, the Dolly Craft Center, that today employs 41 women and 4 men who make liturgical vestments that are sold within and outside Kenya. Before her death, Sister Ida had expressed her wish to be buried in Kenya. The burial will take place this coming Monday, June 24th, at Hope Center in Nyahururu. May the Almighty rest her soul in peace. The new Bishop of Ahiara Catholic Diocese in Nigeria, the Right Reverend Simeon Nwobi, was installed on Thursday, June 20th, at the Martyrs Ecclesia Cathedral in Ahiara in a peaceful ceremony. He succeeds Bishop Peter Opaleke, now Cardinal, who was appointed in 2012, but was rejected and prevented from taking possession of the diocese by some members of the clergy and the laity on grounds that he was not a native of the area. threatened in many ways, Bishop Opaleke was forced to live outside the diocese and resigned in 2018, after which Pope Francis appointed him ordinary of the Diocese of Ekwolobia in Nigeria in April 2020, and in 2022 he created him cardinal. At his installation, Bishop Nobi recalled that sad history and reminded the clergy and the lay faithful that he was a servant entrusted with a sacred duty to uphold the deposit of faith, to shepherd God's flock, and to act as a sign of hope. He emphasized the need for collaboration between members of the clergy, women and men religious, and the laity, stressing that the office of a bishop is more than administrative. It is a call to emulate Christ, he said. It is a call to be a good shepherd, shepherding the people of God with compassion and with steadfastness. Bishop Nobi is a Nigerian national and a member of a religious order known as the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, commonly known also as the Claretians. Before becoming full ordinary of the Diocese of Ahira, Pope Francis first appointed him as auxiliary bishop of the same diocese, serving under the diocesan administrator, Archbishop Lucius Ugoji of Oweri Catholic Archdiocese. He was born in 1960 in Ahira and ordained a priest in 1990. He was ordained bishop in December 2023. The Catholic Diocese of Kasese in Uganda has announced that it will offer free health services for 4 days starting from July 1st to July 4th this year at its Mount St. Mary's Hospital. The beneficiaries will be people suffering from urogynecology diseases who cannot access treatment because they are poor and therefore have no money to pay. Urogynecology diseases include leaking of urine, fistula, urinary tract infection, pelvic pain, blood in urine, complications from childbirth, a dropping uterus and bladder, and failure to retain urine. The Bishop of Kasese, the Right Reverend Francis Chibira, told the faithful a few days ago that the decision to offer free medical services is in line with the healing mission of Christ, and invited those who suffer from urogynecology diseases, irrespective of religion, tribe, and color of the skin, to turn up for the tests and treatment. Patients will be offered free meals and transport. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Internally Displaced Persons, Paula Bentancur, has told the UN Human Rights Council that climate change and conflict are displacing many people and that the numbers might increase year after year, causing more and more suffering. We have a report.
At the end of 2023, 68.3 million people were uprooted by conflict and violence. That's almost half as many again as 5 years ago, said Special Rapporteur on Internally Displaced Persons, Paula Bentancur. The independent rights expert, who's not a member of the UN, also cited a lack of accountability for human rights abuses as a key driver of displacement, while calling for member states to acknowledge the individual stories of loss, resilience and hope behind the record numbers of displaced. Ms. Bentancur noted that in addition to Gaza, where more than 8 in 10 people were displaced, Sudan had nearly 10 million uprooted from their homes. Haiti had seen its displacement numbers double from last year to a record 600,000 today, while in Myanmar, civil strife there has meant that the vast majority of the 3 million displaced are still without proper shelter, without access to food and water. A staggering 7.7 million were also internally displaced at the end of 2023 because of floods, storms, earthquakes, wildfires and other disasters, the Special Rapporteur said. She added that this figure does not include displacement caused by slow-onset disasters, including sea level rise and environmental degradation. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, you can hear an audio clip from an interview with Mohamed Fall, the UN resident coordinator in Nigeria, about the deep impact the climate crisis is making on the population. Mr. Fall was hosted by Conor Lennon of UN News.
In the studio with me today is Mohamed Fall. He's the UN resident coordinator in Nigeria, where the climate crisis is deeply impacting the population. Thanks for being with us in the studio, Mr. Fall.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me in your program.
Well, it is my pleasure to have you here to, as I say, find out what's actually happening in the countries most affected by the climate crisis, displacement, conflict. I mean, we're unfortunately hearing that about that a lot in West Africa and Nigeria as the most populous country in that region. But it's been reported, in fact, that clashes between communities are just as dangerous as the terrorism we so often hear about from the likes of Boko Haram and the Sahel region.
Indeed, but even that clashes between communities, it's strongly driven by the climate crisis, because one of the main sources of clash between community is when the herdsmen look for grazing land and come across the farming land of the farmers. What happened is that the ecosystem in Nigeria is fragile. Nigeria is very vulnerable to climate change. A good part of the country now is what is we call the Sahel, which is facing cycle of drought, sometimes also cycle of flooding, pushing the herdsmen to go for where they could find graze for their cattle. And then, of course, this is one of the major driver of the clashes. But as I say, also, it's displacement is not triggered only by conflict. Displacement also is triggered by the devastating impact of the climate crisis, like flood, drought, and people always move to where they can have better life.
So we should point out that these intercommunal tensions between more nomadic herds people and farmers, these aren't new. I mean, this has been happening for a long time, these tensions. But what you're saying is that it is noticeably much more intense than it has been in the past.
Because, yes, as you say, it has been there for quite some time, but it has been exacerbated because now most of the place where you have people living a nomadic life around herding cattle, those are the places that are mostly affected by drought. And when you don't have grass for the animals, people tend to move toward the places where the grazing land is much better. And unfortunately, there they will clash with farmers who are having also their farming activities. And I think that's something that is really driven to me by the exacerbation of the consequence of climate crisis.
And in Nigeria, I mean, that's primarily internal displacement. So not people moving to other countries, but moving to better land within Nigeria. Whereabouts is that movement coming from? I.e., where are people going from and where are they going to?
Most of the time they go from the north and they come to the central part of the country, which is called the Middle Belt, where you have grazing. But sometimes they can go further down to the south. And sometimes also they can go across countries. But this is creating also a mix of those clash, plus, of course, other issues. Like if you take the Middle Belt, the state that is mostly affected is the state of Benue. But Benue has also a border with Western Cameroon, where, as you know, there is an insurgency, there is a movement that push population. And then you have a mix of refugees and IDPs becoming much more complex and much more difficult to manage.
Now, for those who don't know how it works in countries, you, as a resident coordinator, you represent the UN at the highest level, and you have many different representatives of the many different agencies in UN House. Tell me a bit about how that coordination works and how easily or not easily you're able to respond to certain crises or to help aid development in a certain part of Nigeria.
Let's say we are 26 UN agencies in Nigeria, including 19 that have presence, and those are the rest. The other seven are what we call non-resident agencies. It means they are not physically present, but they engage in the country, they send experts, they come on mission. What we try to do is to look at the situation as it is and bring in the different asset that UN has. As you say, we have UNHCR dealing with the refugees, we have FAO supporting agriculture, we have WHO doing health, we have WFP providing food and making sure that food insecurity is addressed properly. You have number of assets that pull together make the UN response very significant. Now, what is happening is that people, when they are under those shock and they are in a movement of displacement, you have the needs that are very urgent that we respond to through what we call quick and high impact, which is usually using the humanitarian instrument, the humanitarian assistance for the displacement. But we are looking also for much longer term, medium and longer term solution, which is what we call durable solution for IDPs. And maybe for the sake of the listeners, Nigeria have launched 3 weeks ago what we call the state plan for durable solution to the return of the IDPs, which is part of this.
Sorry, internally displaced people.
Internally,
for those who don't know.
Yeah, internally displaced people as part of the Secretary General initiative of addressing the displacement across the globe. There has been 15 countries that are in the initiative, and Nigeria was the first that have a plan which was prepared in a participatory way, which was budgeted, which engaged, and which was driven by the local authority, mainly the state governor, to launch those plans. But those plans were mostly focusing on 3 states that have been affected by the Boko Haram insurgency.
That was an audio clip from an interview by UN News' Conor Lennon with Mohamed Fall, the UN resident coordinator in Nigeria, on the impact the climate crisis is having on the population. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our report with the Pope on Sunday. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.